welcome to the Grateful Podcast with Jack Wagner. I'm your host, Jack Wagner, and here we talk about how to build, create, share, and just find the gratefulness that's in your life and how to bring it to your everyday life to just feel happier, healthier, and better overall. When you're grateful for something, I truly believe that that just increases the quality of your life and how you're feeling with yourself. So that is my mission with this podcast. Comparing ourselves to our past selves is one way to know that change is possible, and it can really motivate us to understand who we could be a year from now doing the exact same thing and looking back at us now. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Grateful Podcast with Jack Wagner. It is episode 11. I am your host, Jack Wagner. Today we are going to be talking about comparison. I think that this topic is something that many people can relate to, as almost everyone has had moments of comparing themselves to others. And I want to talk about how to shift that comparing yourself to others to comparing yourself to yourself, your past and your future self, because that's all that really matters. If you are content with yourself and you can see that you've made progress or you are making progress, in the future you're going to have made more progress, then that's how you become content, and that is how you make progress. However, before I get into it, I'd like to take some time to say how grateful I am to be growing every single day and be able to see my progress accumulate in my actions. It's one of the greatest gifts, and I cannot wait to see where it takes me. I'm going to talk about this more at the end of the podcast. I would love to just talk about it right now, because that's really my motivation for making this today, is looking back and seeing the progress that I've made over this past year and a half, times like that, and thinking in my head, if I knew that in a year and a half, this is where I would be, what would I think? But again, I'll get to that at the end after I provide like evidence for all this stuff and actually talk about the science of it all. Okay, so let's get started with that said. Comparison is the thief of joy. Teddy Roosevelt famously said that, but is that true? Right? That's something I hear many people quote. It's a very quoted quote. Well, I think that there are many different types of comparison that can actually bring joy. So I agree. Comparison, it can be a thief of joy. But like almost everything, just a statement like that, there are outliers. And that's what I'm going to focus on today. But before that, I think because comparison is such a huge subject, I need to introduce the topic. And I'll talk about something called comparison theory. So that's what we'll start out on. I read an article on Psychology Today about this, and they said social comparison theory, that's the scientific name of the theory, is the idea that individuals determine their own social and personal worth based on how they stack up against others. Basically, I would say that I'm worthy of whatever, happiness, success, etc., whatever you want to think, just because I'm better than a bunch of bozos over there, or more commonly, I'm not worthy because there are two bozos who are better than me. Two is just a random number, but it's to show that you could be so great. You could, and again, greatness is such a subjective concept, but you could have achieved so much, you could have so much in your life, but you see that they're like two people better than you, right? You're comparing yourself. You think, oh, they're so much better than me. You're comparing yourself to their perfect social media feed or something, and then that makes you sad because these bozos that aren't really telling the truth you think are better than you. No, they're not. They're not. This is a flawed way to live, in my opinion, but it is very common. And actually, I read over 10% of our thoughts are said to be comparisons of some sort. Now, they're not all negative comparisons, but when you get present with your thoughts, you can really notice that often that's true. And I feel like it might be more than 10%. When I'm in a social setting and I'm really present with my thoughts as well as what's going on around me, I realize that a lot of it is a comparison of some sort. For example, in this French experience, I like comparing myself to other non-native French speakers with my level of French. And I don't know. I don't feel like that is the greatest way to bring yourself happiness. It's more compared me to where I was 7 months ago when I barely spoke it at all, right? And I think that's what's actually going to bring more happiness into my life. Building upon these foundational principles of social comparison theory, I wrote that out. That was, it sounded pretty fancy right there. Contemporary research has expanded our understanding of how individuals assess their self-worth in relation to others and themselves. Recent studies have explored the aspects of self-comparison and the nuances of it as well, such as upward versus downward comparisons and temporal comparisons. For example, investigations into the role of temporal comparisons have shown that while comparing oneself to others may lead to feelings of envy or inadequacy, comparing oneself to past self fosters a sense of personal growth and empowerment. This distinction highlights the unique value of interpersonal comparisons in promoting our self-improvement and our well-being and just overall getting better, right? And so I found that very, very interesting, that research right there, because it shows exactly what I've been thinking in my head. And I honestly think we all know this. I think that we all know me comparing myself to these other people isn't really great, but it's really hard to stop doing it because it's just ingrained in our culture so much. We need to be better than other people. We need to, but really for you, what makes you, what gives you more value in your life? Being better than this random person, as I was saying earlier, a bozo, like it's not an insult. It's just like, why do you care? Right. And no, it makes you feel better to be better than yourself than you were. And yeah, it's just weird how our minds work like that, how we do things that seem ingrained into us that don't necessarily bring any value to our life. Sometimes they can, though. And so sometimes, like, you comparing yourself to another person, it can lead you to get better if you're in a very competitive thing. So then we have some longitudinal research, which means research that, like, studies across the lifespan of people, which I think is really, really cool. And they provide compelling evidence for the benefits of self-comparison that I've been talking about. Studies tracking individuals from adolescence to adulthood have documented how the habit of reflecting on one's past experiences and accomplishments contributes to psychological functioning and overall a life satisfaction. Satisfaction. Huge word right there. Moreover, why did I write that? Moreover, that sounds so fancy, but it's okay. Longitudinal data allows for the examination of developmental trajectories and the identification of critical periods where self-comparison plays a pivotal role in shaping identity formation, goal pursuit, and resilience in the face of life transitions and challenges. See, so why would you not want to do this? Wow. Listen to that. It talks about how when you compare yourself to yourself, right? Not others, yourself. It plays a pivotal role in shaping your identity formation. Okay. So identity is something that is very talked about, right? Like yourself and all of that. So when you can shape it with self-comparison, with positive, most likely we're talking about something positive here, right? When you can shape it with that, it's huge. And goal pursuit, we all want to be able to pursue our goals better. I've probably made 3 podcasts on that already. And resilience in the face of life transitions and challenges. If you're resilient in the face of your life transitions and challenges, you'll accomplish more. Like, I don't know if this is about accomplishing more or whatever, but you'll be happier, you'll accomplish more, and you'll be more likely to go back and take big risks and go through big transitions again, which is normally what leads to the greatest moments. All right, so now I'm going to talk about some different cultural variations of this and self-comparison, because they offer pretty intriguing insights into, like, how it's universal and also the specificity. Wow, the specificity of it when it comes to culture. Some different studies conducted across a bunch of diverse, like, cultural contexts have revealed different cultural norms and values that influence individuals' attitudes towards self-improvement and personal growth. Some cultures emphasize collective achievements and interdependent self-constructs. But, and others prioritize, like, individual progress and autonomous self-development. So very different. I feel like from my perspective, both the American and the French, more the Western culture, really values these autonomous self-development people. You see so many people on social media like disappear for 6 months and be the greatest, right? Well, then more Eastern, I don't want to make stereotypes here because I honestly don't know enough about this. This is just from a study I read. But I definitely feel like the Western culture is more based on autonomous self-development. And that's what a lot of social media and that is promoting, right? And I think understanding these cultural nuances enriches our appreciation of the self-comparison in itself and the implications of fostering like more global citizenship. Or I don't know, that's a big idea, but just being able to come together and unite more, right? Because some people have different ideas on what it really is. And I don't think anyone's wrong. I think that like self-developed personal growth when it comes on like collective achievements and all that is very, very cool. And is very, very interesting. And we have to respect that as well, even though what we focus a lot more on is the autonomous side of it. Because in my opinion, the autonomous side of it is necessary, even in a kind of working together type of attitude. If you're not autonomously developed and emotionally intelligent and just like happy with yourself, you're not going to work in a group better. So that's why I really like to focus on this autonomous side of it. But it's this article is right. There are different cultural norms and stuff that we have to be aware of. Then we got intervention and application. So integrating self-comparison principles in like therapeutic settings and educational programs holds promise for enhancing resilience, self-efficacy, and adaptive coping strategies. Clinical interventions grounded in cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT, often incorporate techniques such as self-monitoring, self-evaluation, and goal setting, which encourage clients to engage in constructive self-comparison as part of their therapeutic process. Similarly, educational initiatives aimed at promoting academic achievement and personal growth among students can leverage self-comparison strategies to cultivate what's called a growth mindset, which is intrinsic motivation and a sense of agency over one's learning journey. And I see that so much in school that is being implemented in the U.S., not here in France. They don't do it here. But in the U.S., I think it's really cool because I've been in the school system a long time now, right? Like started in kindergarten 2011, 2012. And I think then it was still more, I was also in kindergarten, but it was still more like typical in my first few years of elementary school. But once I got to middle school, like my third year or something, teachers started implementing what they called growth mindset. And we had to do a lot of activities around this. And it felt very, like we'd have presentations, it felt kind of fake and we didn't really know. But as I learned more about what growth mindset is, it's so cool. And I think that's a very cool way of getting kids to think this way. Because we'd have to like write something at the beginning of the year, like what are our goals for the end of the year, the middle of the year, like reflect on that and realize how far we've come and still have to think about where we want to grow. And at the end of the year, get to reflect on all that and think about our goals for the future. And this is so cool, especially if we can do this in schools, right? As a way of implementing this growth mindset and this self-reflection and comparison to realize that we're always growing and we're always learning and all this stuff. I think that it's a great way to integrate it into society so that as a society as a whole, we can compare in a more healthy way, right? I think that's huge. Last thing I want to talk about before I talk about my journey is like technology and all that. So there are multiple things I want to talk about within this technology branch. But so we have digital technologies and self-tracking tools that have just revolutionized the way that individuals compare themselves to each other and themselves. We have mobile apps, wearable devices, and different online platforms that provide people with feedback and data to monitor their progress and set their goals and track changes, right? We would never have had any of this, I don't know, decades ago, where like I see these like watches that, I mean, I use one when I run and all that, but people love to track their progress for different sports, for example, online, even like sleep and all this stuff. We have devices that are tracking it, real data, and people like to post it online and compare about that. And this can be huge for intrinsic motivation, right? Because you can literally see with the power of analytics and personalized like algorithms, how these technologies empower individuals to make informed decisions, get healthier habits, and optimize the performance. But like from fitness and productivity to finance and just like emotional well-being, right? You see all this stuff. But also, it's on a social platform normally, and this provides more comparison with other people as well. It really depends on how you use these tools, if they bring you benefit or not. And I think I've seen both, right? And then with this social comparison aspect, you also have to talk about social media, right? Social media is something that I think we all know brings more comparison than we've really ever had. Because, and it's not, maybe not, right? But I think so. And I think the main reason that has such a big effect is because so many people are not authentic with what they're putting out there. So many people just post the amazing things. And I mean, I'm a victim of this too. You're not a victim. I do it, right? I post happy moments. I'm not going to post myself like crying or not that I cry a lot, but like not that I'm sad or anything. But what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to go out on the internet and post a really bad moment in my life normally, right? That's not something that people do. That's social norms. But this perfect posting culture makes, like, oh, especially celebrities, they make their lives seem so perfect. And then everyone compares themselves to that and they feel like they cannot get there. And that's some external comparison that is very dangerous. And I think as we've seen in society, has caused a lot of disturbances, I guess we could say, a lot of unhappiness within selves. Yeah, I think that's a big problem, and I'm not going to dive all into that because that could probably be like 2 hours of podcasting, right? So go check that out if you don't know what I'm talking about. I feel like you have to, but go look up an article on like social media effects, especially on teens, right? All right, so with all that said, I would like to talk about my personal experience and why I'm making this podcast, really. Over the past few years, I've really grown as a person in so many aspects of my life. And sometimes I just look back and I'm like, wow. That's amazing what you've done. I'm looking at what I'm doing right now, and every night I sit down with my journal, and I was reflecting on what I'm doing, like on a day-to-day basis, and it felt like a normal day. And then I just tried to think about exactly where I am and exactly what I was doing. And I think about myself a year ago or a year and a half ago. A year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, I wouldn't have even had the ideas to do stuff that I'm doing. And then a year ago, these ideas were ideas. They were exactly that. They were massive ideas in my head that I wanted to make happen. They were goals I wanted to make happen. And a year from that, I'm doing them. It's crazy. I'm so proud of myself for that, right? Like you can see that I've grown. And the first thought that came to my head after that is like, in my very growth mindset was, well, where will I be a year from now? Where will I be 5, 10, 15 years from now, right? It's amazing to think about. It's amazing. I'll paint the picture for you guys because I want to go into detail about this because I think it's really huge and just something that maybe can motivate you guys to realize stuff just happens when you work for it. So 2 years ago, right now, I was just a freshman playing baseball. That was my life, right? Then a year ago, I'd made the decision. In that one year, like I'm leaving out a ton of details, just like personal, they're personal details, right? But a lot happened, and I made the decision to want to go to France my junior year. And I made the decision to want to get better at everything, at life, understand life better, be more peaceful. Because I wasn't the most peaceful person. I was very reactive. I compared myself to other people all the time. That was like the basis of all my thoughts. So fall of sophomore year, I started to get up at 5. I started to work out. I started to work on myself, to meditate. And I knew that I was going to be going to France the next year. So I did all this. And the growth personally was amazing. In my head, the mindset, insane. That whole year, like my sophomore year, is where I got my mindset from. Obviously, it's always developing. But I think that year is going to be the most formative internal year of my life. And I could be completely wrong. But I just had such a change inside. It doesn't feel... The thing that's really weird to me is it doesn't feel like I'm the same person. When I look back now to myself, I don't know, 3 years ago. And it's also weird because, you know, I'm 17, so I'm so young to be saying all this stuff. Like, of course, I'm not the same exact person as when I'm 14. These are the most formative years of our lives, we're told. But it's really amazing to look back like this. Because a year ago, I remember in my head, I had written out some stuff. And I wanted to start a business, get a way of making some income. And I wanted to have a big impact on people as well and like start a podcast or something like that. Well, and I knew I was going to France next year, so I wanted to be fluent in French. The other day, I'm like, yeah, I didn't do much today. Look back. I wrote in my journal and I'm like, yeah, I'm in France. Like, so I went to school in French, like talked in French all day. And then I got home and I worked on my business. And then I recorded a podcast and I looked at those three things. I said to myself, wow, you really have taken these steps to make these thoughts into reality. They are like reality. You're actually working on them now. It's no longer some fantastical thing. They're happening because you put in the work over the last year to make it happen. And that's where progress comes, and that's where you can compare your thoughts. You can compare yourself right now to yourself before and before that, and yourself in the future. Because when I realized that, I said, well, after a year of working on these things consistently, what's it going to be like? They're just going to be getting better, right? I'm so proud of that. And I want you guys to know that anyone can do this. Anyone can. Just think about what you want and work towards it. Just don't give up. If you need to do so, so it's 66 days to make a habit. I'm like 95% sure, 66. Pick one thing. You want to get in shape? Do a 10-minute workout when you wake up every morning for 66 days. It'll become a habit. And you don't know if you'll do it, pay your best friend $500. Give him $500. And if you don't do it, you don't get the money back. If you do it, you get it back. If you fail, you don't get your money back. I've never done this, but I know it works. Make these habits. Get these habits into you, so that when you look back and you compare yourself to your past self a year from now, you'll be so grateful. You'll see your progress. Because the self-comparison, it's amazing when you're doing things that help you, that make, that bring value to your life. But when you're not, it can be paralyzing, because you realize you haven't moved, because you haven't taken the action. So let's go. Take the action so you can be happy with yourself a year from now. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. I really hope that it helps you foster some personal growth and be grateful for where you are in your life and where you were and where you will be. I love making these episodes. Love you all. Bye. I hope that you enjoyed listening to this episode of the Grateful Podcast with Jack Wagner. If you like the podcast and would like to support its growth, please consider subscribing to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out my YouTube channel under my name and see all the positive content that I've put out there. Thank you so much, and I hope to get to see you next week. Love you all. Bye.